Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today is from the epistle lesson, Ephesians chapter 4. We all know these words that our Lord spoke concerning marriage when he said, "And the two shall become one flesh, and what God has joined together, let no man separate." God created marriage as a lifelong union between one man and one woman. And since God established marriage, in this verse we are strictly forbidden to do anything that might separate this sacred bond that God has created between husbands and their wives. For in God's sight, that man and that woman who marry are united to become one flesh for as long as they live. But God feels the same way about his church. Since God established the church as well, none of us has any right to disrupt the unity of faith that exists between Christians who make up that church. For it greatly pleases the Lord when believers who are united in the faith dwell together in unity. Just as God instituted marriage, so God instituted the church. Marriage is not something that men and women can arbitrarily abandon in favor of living together, nor is belonging to the church optional for believers. For just as God declares that husbands and wives are one flesh, so he declares of the church that we who are many are one body in Christ. For all who believe in Christ and all who are baptized into Christ are joined together, and we belong to this one body. The Father created the church. The Son, we are told, purchased the church with his very own lifeblood. And anyone who has been in confirmation class knows that the Holy Spirit is the one who unites us in faith, centered on Christ, and we become the church. And so God is the one responsible for the unity that exists among us in the one holy Christian church. The Apostle Paul reminds us then by saying, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your calling. For we all share in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all." Before this, sin had long divided men into warring factions, not only with God, but with one another. But in the second chapter of Hebrews, we read how Christ ended this hostility that had for so long existed between men and God, and also between men and other men. Christ did this by breaking down the barriers that so often divide people, by making peace between us by the blood of his cross. The result of his sacrifice is that Christ has accomplished forgiveness for everyone and made all who believe in him acceptable to God by that one Spirit who works through the Word, so that we all share the same faith in Jesus. Most Christians know what a terrible sin it would be if we somehow were the ones to cause a breakup of a marriage. But perhaps we are far less aware of what a horrible sin it is if we do anything to cause division or discord within the body of Christ. We all need to hear and to heed this warning. Those whom God has united in faith, let no man separate. None of us is to be disturbers of the peace within the church by creating any kind of divisions or factions. Yet this often happens when we allow our wounded pride or our own personal agendas or our fleshly anger to matter more than the unity of the faith. We often sow seeds of discord when we allow our sinful nature to control our thoughts and words and actions, so that needless divisions occur, most often in marriages, in families, and in congregations. And this happens when we begin to demand our own way, when we hold grudges against those who have upset us, when we allow ourselves to become jealous of other Christians, when we become judgmental and show an unwillingness to forgive, when we gossip instead of letting love cover a multitude of sins, and when we embrace the concept of revenge. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we simply cannot allow such things to dominate our lives, whether it's in our marriages or in our families or in our congregational life together. You see, Christ our Lord has gone to such great lengths to die as that offering of atonement to God for the sins of all of us, so there might be peace in the marriage and in the home and in the church. For this reason, Paul exhorts Christians in our lessons, saying that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and especially eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Essentially, what this means is that we are to make every spiritual effort to live among other Christians in peace and in perfect harmony. For this is how we honor Christ, who died for this very purpose, to make peace with God on our behalf. To do this, we must end any hostility or animosity that we have been holding against others. Our world prizes personal autonomy. It praises human individuality. But our God values those who live for others, those who count others as being more important than themselves, and those who preserve the unity of the faith by promoting peace and goodwill. Our gracious God is grieved when we allow our own personal differences to divide the church, while God is delighted when we follow His will, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Sounds like a pretty tall order. So just how do we do this? In another place, St. Paul will say, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Paul goes on to say, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into that one body. And so you see, Christian love calls us to have patience with one another, to be gentle towards one another, to show kindness even to those whom we feel don't always deserve our kindness, to forgive one another, to bear with one another. Admittedly, as a sinner too, I know this isn't easy. This, however, is the Holy Spirit's great desire for us, and it shows a mature faith. Otherwise, as Jesus once said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And the Bible warns us, lest we bite and devour one another, rather than to speak the truth in love. As on your way out, you might notice, but our congregational mission statement begins with these words: united in faith, we serve the kingdom of God. Service to God begins by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet this is not the way of sin, for our sinful nature much prefers to stir up controversy and conflict. And if we allow our headstrong sin nature to control us, there will always be conflict in our marriage, in our families, and in our congregation. Yet the Bible says, insofar as it depends on you, in other words, in the sense that you have control over these things, live peaceably with all. The Lord is saying this to all of us today who are standing in this sanctuary, including myself. The Lord is saying, strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up between you and causes trouble. For by it, the scriptures say, many have been defiled. That's a pretty sobering threat. As true believers, we do not want to endanger the faith of others through controversy. Much less do we want to cause other Christians to fall away from the faith by allowing our own sinful flesh to rule and to dominate relationships in our home and in our congregation. We certainly also don't want to risk that we might no longer be Christians and we might jeopardize our own eternal salvation if we continue to work against God's plans to unite us in the faith. Satan works overtime in the church, especially churches that preach the gospel, by stirring up every kind of division and discord that he can. And he is good at this, and he does not need our help. But we can overcome his evil intentions by doing good, by not allowing these sins or grievances to divide us or to disrupt the unity of faith that we as Christians have in Christ. In other words, you can overcome this kind of evil by good, by forgiving, by showing extreme patience, by not easily taking offense, and by not bearing grudges. And yet, when we do finally draw battle lines, when we join factions in the congregation in order to get our way and to voice our complaints, we are almost always certain to be serving Satan's purposes. For our God is a God who delights in unity. In the Psalms, we read how good it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is hard to maintain unity because we are sinners. And yet it is what our Lord desires for us. The Bible says God has called us to be united not only in our faith, but also in Christian love for one another. Hear the word of the Lord that he spoke through St. Peter. Peter says, have unity of thought, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless, for it was to this that you were called. Sinful, stubborn pride is what so often divides and starts wars among us. And it requires Christ-like humility to end conflict and to make peace. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, how blessed is the peacemaker. How blessed is that Christian whose words heal instead of wounding others. How blessed is that person who puts the best construction on what others say and do, rather than gossiping about others in the church and injuring reputations. How blessed is that Christian who can be wronged without letting it get to him. How blessed is the believer who cares enough about his brothers and sisters in Christ to be unwilling to expose them to disgrace even when they have done something wrong. And how blessed by God is that person who, before reacting in anger, asks himself if what he is angry about is truly important enough to upset the unity that we have in Christ. As Christians, we should defend and preserve God's word and Christ's doctrine when these are in dispute. But what we are talking about today is schism. And schism is needless division, not based on godly doctrine, but only on our selfish desire to have our way. Schism divides the church over things that, in the eternal scheme of things, really don't matter. Such things are only important and seem to matter because we let them matter. Schism occurs when we make what we want more important than the unity and the harmony and the tranquility that God so desires for us as his people. God wants every one of us, myself included, to promote the unity of the faith here at St. John's and not our own agendas. We simply cannot continue to let these things, things like differences between church and school, divide us and expect that God would crown our efforts with success. God will not bless the future. He will not bless our marriages or our families or our congregation or our school until we stop dividing the body of Christ and begin to do what Paul exhorts us to do, to build up one another in faith and in love until we all attain to the true unity of the faith and the saving knowledge of the Son of God. May the Holy Spirit grant us the strength and the will to do these things. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.